Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created OneToListen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life, on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at OneToListen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, "What if?" Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on lifeconversationsradio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you too, my brother. Yes, yes, yes. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new moment. An opportunity to multiply the consciousness of truth. Sometimes you got to get clear. As a matter of fact, all the time you got to get clear about what you're multiplying. You got to get clear about who you are. So let's take a roll call. Let's see who's in the house.
I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Ah, roll call. We know who we are. We are the I am that I am. We are the presence and power of God. We know we are free because we found a deeper love, a love so deep, a love so new that God itself, God herself revealed itself to us. We say yes. Ricky Bias Beckwith, I found a deeper love. Have you? When you make connection with that love, woohoo!
Some have asked me about my glow. Do you want to know why I move the way I do? Is there someone special in my life? Or have I found that love so true? They just don't know they just don't know. That I found a deep love, deeper love, the deepest love that one can find. I found a love so free, God revealed itself to me. Spirit is so real, and it's a deep love that I see. Did I win some kind of prize? But I found a real love. Spirit is my closest friend. It's always beginning, and it has no end. They just don't know. No, they just don't know.
Love, the love where God, Goddess, Divine Mother, love, beauty, infinite love, Source Spirit reveals itself to us. A love so deep that we just remember who we are. Thank you, Ricky Byers Beckwith, for that song, and Michael Bernard Beckwith, they co-wrote that song, I Found a Deeper Love. Have you found that deeper love? Even if you make contact with it for just a second, for a moment, for half a second, a quarter of a second, have you ever experienced that deep love? But you know what? I know you have. It's true, even if you can't remember. But sometimes we struggle so hard to get back to that place. to that space, to that place where we became one with everything, where we were so moved and so full. It's a moment-to-moment thing. As a matter of fact, we don't need to look for it. We don't need to find it. It is what you is. That's right. It is what you is. In it, you live, move, and have your being. You are that love. You just got to tune to a different frequency to feel it, to hear it, to hear it clearly. And if you're in a different frequency, you're just listening to what's going on in the radio of the five senses, and you're in the radio that talks about separation and judgment and not enoughness and all the other stuff, lack and limitations and shutdown. If you just listen to that channel, you miss what's going on another station, the inner station that is always broadcasting love, truth, togetherness, healing, hope, compassion, understanding, and so much more. May you know deeper love beyond your wildest imagination. Ricky Byers Beckwith. I found a deeper love. I found a deeper love. Her website address is weletitbe.com. weletitbe.com. You can also find her at their virtual home, agapelive.com, agapelive.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first, and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, where change is inspired, and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're alive. You're always going to make a difference, even when people say they're no longer alive, because you're always alive. The time is now, so why not step into living? Just saying yes to your life, the life that is you, the life that is expressing as you. Not trying to be something else other than who you are. You are perfectly made. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. I am your host. The I Am Presence is your host. And the I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, the Naughty Professor, the Metaphysical Rebel, all the names that I'm called. You're weird, you're crazy. Yes, I am that I am. And anything and everything you call me is simply a reflection of your consciousness. So I know you're loving. So whatever you call me is all in love. Welcome home. Welcome to yourself. Thank you to those of you who are listening online. We appreciate you. Those of you who are listening on the phone line, thank you. Those who are listening on the archive, thank you for being here. We appreciate you for coming back and listening to the show, sharing the show with your friends, your lovers, your haters. You really don't have haters. They're just misguided cheerleaders, you know? You have no enemies. It's just your inner you. It's your thought projected outward and bouncing back to you. So share the show. And, of course, we can't leave out our Within Radio listeners. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Life is good. I am so full. I am so grateful. I'm grateful. I don't know what else to say. I'm just thank you for this moment. JD Messenger is in the house. What a beautiful name. Every one of us, if we just take time to be still and look at our lives, we'll see that there's signs and symbols in our names or so how we lived our lives and the things we used to believe in. You know, the challenges that we went through in there. You can just, it's just written there. You're like, hello. Just right there. Wow. How are you guys doing today? And this holiday, if you are on a holy day. Every day is a holy day. Every day is a day to remember, to celebrate your self-discovery. Every day is an opportunity to know who and what you are. Every day is an opportunity to go to uncharted territories and stand in your I Am presence and leave a legacy that transforms life, that highlights the commonality as we embrace the so-called differences. And we have an opportunity to see beyond, to see clearly, to see life from a place and space of expansiveness rather than a place of limitation. We have an opportunity to go beyond borders and recognize, wait, there isn't any. Even while we work to create the boundaries for our own transformation. Yes, as soul in the body, spirit in the body, it is important to be clear about what makes us feel grounded, what makes us feel whole and complete. So the boundaries are just some kind of, they're just a little bit of safety net, if you will, while we navigate this plane, this planet. Let love be your protection. Let love be your harmonizer. I welcome you to this house of transformation. And I'm going to bring on Celeste, who is experiencing healing and she's getting better every day. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
Hello, Life Coach today. It's so nice to be home. JD Messenger is such a warm spirit. I just got to say hi to him. So I'm so happy to be doing your announcements. It's going to be brief, so you guys can get into this 11 days of May.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm partial to that month, you know.
Well, why is that?
My birthday is May 4th.
Of course it is. You know, other people, there are one or two people who don't really know you, but they're going to get to know you, but you can let them in now. We can't keep secrets from our listeners. We need them. It's going to be pointless doing it. Even though I will do what I'm doing if people are not listening, but it always helps to have people listening.
I said yes to this. Yes, I'm just saying, make it a special month. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, sure it is. Did you say April? You said March is a special month? Yeah, March is a special month. You're right. Oh, what
I'm only focused on me right now. So May, we're talking about 11 days in May. So let me stop playing with you. Hello, Mike. Good friend and all the listeners.
Just
so
march
glad
on
to have you guys in the
whatever
house.
You go ahead and
yeah,
just
I'm
march on. Because you may recognize the real one. That is special. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But march on into the truth of who you are. That's what I'm just saying.
I may let you get away with that. Hey, I was so ready to do your announcements.
Don't sound like it. We're just cutting up over here. Well, yes, go ahead and do it. Let's see. Yeah, go ahead and do the announcements. And maybe we'll continue the conversation. All right. Don't wear that out. It was from when you started it, Life Coach Addy. All right, go ahead.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Addy radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Addy radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and our wonderful guest, JD Messenger, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346. Make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Just be sure to create a new posting, as we want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu, then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for a Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach Today any time of the day? Yes, you do. You can email him any questions you may have. He'll answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. If there's a topic you would like Life Coach Ade to explore on an upcoming show, you can email him that too. The theme for the month of October is Say Yes to Love. And we have wonderful guests lined up who will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Sherry Cortland is joining Life Coach Ade to help you with your spiritual toolbox. Get ready to put your light worker pants on. It's going to be a powerful show. She's a special friend to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. You will have a lot of fun and learn a lot at the same time. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassa Safira for the play experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Then you can tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade on the last Wednesday of the month. You can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Saturday nights just got hotter with the Sounds of Soul with Ademola Nifowoche on 12radio.com. Life Coach Ade is hosting a musical show dedicated to getting you in touch with all of your senses. So make sure you join him every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern on 12radio.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. Go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, then hover, don't click on the Life Conversations radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach Ade drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. Or you can go to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show and or the Life Conversations radio fan like pages on Facebook and simply click the donate button. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Ade.
Good Lord, Celeste. Yeah. Why are you doing that? See, it's better when I don't think about what I'm doing. Okay? if I just live in the moment, but when I hear you say the things, I'm just like, oh, my God. That's right. That's all I need to call. Oh, my God. And God's good. I'm glad you're aligned. I'm here for you.
Expansion is beautiful. Have a great show, Life Coach Ade. I'll see you around one.
See you around one for Celestial Moment. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Celeste. Life is good. It's getting better. Our guest, our friend, our self, he's one with us. He's an expression of us. He is the mess singer. I'm playing with his name here. He's reminding us that don't run from your mess. Embrace your mess so you can catch the message. And when you catch the message, you become a messenger of love. You get to sing the song of your mess. Like, oh, my God, I got over. Wow, I can't believe I got through that. And you can, too. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. The number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad for your questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears, whatever it is. Your disagreement, bring it. This is the house of love. So whatever you bring to the house of love will be transformed and taken to the next level. We have set the intention to support you on your transformation journey. I'm going to play a little bit of this song because I'm hearing to play, so I'm going to just yield and say yes. And I'm speaking of the mess singer. I'm sure he doesn't mind me playing with his name like that. He's heard it all. He's a messenger. He's not attached to anything that I say about JD Messenger. He knows it's an expression of my consciousness. And I will dare not say anything that is not of high vibration because there is a song in my soul. It's saying all is well, and we're ready to sing the song together. Listen to the heartbeat. Rhymes. We'll be back with JD Messenger after this. You'll heal with whole feet. Reminding us that we have a song in our soul, and then we can be the messenger of love, the messenger of transformation, of unity, of compassion, of reminding each other that all is one, because we can see it. We look around. We see the connection. Karen Drucker, Song in My Soul. You can find out more about Karen Drucker by going to her website, KarenDrucker.com, KarenDrucker.com. It's time to have a conversation with the man that had the conversation with the woe man, the woe man that transcends time and space, the creator of all that is, that speaks to us in all kind of voices, but it's unique to us, and we know it, we understand it, we recognize it, especially when we are listening. Karen Drucker, thank you for that reminder that we have a song in our soul, but the messenger's in the house. So thank you for doing your job so beautifully. We receive it, we accept it, and we release you. Let me read a little bit about J.D. Messenger. Just breathe in the breath of life. Life is good. Life is good. No matter what is going on, just try it, test it. And even if there's a shutdown going on in your life or around you, it's just the rebooting, that's all. Don't get caught up. Just like your computer, when you shut it down, then you got to let it sit for a while, and then it reboots and everything is moving on, as it should normally, if you take out the programs that don't belong in there. Let me leave that alone. But either way, all shutdown is a reset. Some new consciousness. So let me pull up the bio, and I feel something else coming through. But this is all part of the conversation. The conversation is about shutting down and rebooting and recognizing who and what we are, because we have J.D. Messenger in the house. J.D. Messenger is an award-winning innovator, visionary, and author. But he's so much more than that. He's the former CEO of Ernst & Young Consulting in Singapore, one of 37 distinguished graduates from Annapolis, 1981, the class of 1981, a former fireman, nuclear submarine officer, a former radio and television show creator, producer, and host. He just can't help but create. In the world of business, he has helped supervise the Valdez oil spill cleanup and is an advisor to Fortune 11, okay, where'd that too? Fortune 100 clients and government on five continents. His latest book,
is 11 Days in May, the conversation that will change your life. He's in the house. He's ready. He's all prepped. He's listening to that voice within and saying yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, especially physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my guest, my brother, myself, JD Messenger. Hello, JD. How are you doing?
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, Aday.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome. Welcome home. Welcome here. Welcome now.
Well, thank you. I love everything you're saying about the reboot. I'm over here cracking up laughing. And every shutdown is a reset. That's great, man. I love it.
Yes, 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 yes. And we're grateful that you're here to keep reminding us that with the shutdowns and whatever's going on, the polarization, that there is a voice that we can all tune into and know the truth and not get caught up in the distractions of what's going on around us. So I just read a little bit about you, a little bit, but there's so much more. I have a new title for you, but I won't tell you yet. I'll tell you later. So, but I got to ask you this question.
Go for it.
Who are you? Who is JD Messenger?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I'm going to give you a little bit of a roundabout answer. I thought that for the majority of my life until my wake-up call that I was a fireman, or I was a submarine officer, or I was a corporate executive. I thought that who I was what I did, my job, my title, my attachments, my possessions. And when I broke my neck and had my near-death experience and came back, I realized that that's not true, that who I am is not what I do or what I have, that I am a soul. And I live many lives, and I'm a divine expression of that woman that you talked about, that divine woman, that divine masculine, the source of all life and creation. And those other things are sort of an illusion. I mean, they're real, but they're not reality. You know, it's 1% of reality. The other 99% of reality is not something we can buy, sell, or hold, contrary to whatever Wall Street or Madison Avenue would like us to believe. The other 99% of reality is something we feel. It is something that is our essence. It is our life force. It is our bond. It is the unifying connection. It is the source of all ideas and inspiration. It's our essence. So I am a soul, and so are you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I was just listening to you, and I actually just got lost in your story. I'm sitting back here with my eyes closed and smiling. And you said, and the moral of the story is, I am a soul, and so are you. Yes, I get it, I feel it, I sense it. And let's talk about, before we talk about your 11 Days in May, about the book that you wrote that you didn't know nothing about.
Like, right.
I wrote a book.
Yeah.
You know, as I listened to, you know, I've researched you, read your book, and read some things about you, and I kept going back to, I wonder what he was like as a boy, as a child. Because it seems to me that anything you do, you don't stop at just the beginning. You've got to go all the way to the top. And my new title for you is the death specialist, because you didn't just have one experience of death. You had several. So
yeah.
I want to know what you were like as a boy when you were younger. Did you have a curiosity for life? What was the making of JD Messenger that I'm talking to right now?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and I'm just finishing my memoir, and the beginning of it starts with that, and I've analyzed my life, and my editors, you know, are having me dig deep, keep going deeper, you got to go deeper. You know, the essence of me was one very curious child. I... I got a chemistry set back in the early 60s with real chemicals and test tubes. And I remember watching my mother talking on the phone to Aunt Mary, who was, 800 miles away. And I was, maybe 6 or 7. And Mom went downstairs after she hung up. And I scrambled up and pushed things over and climbed up and got the phone and took it apart and was examining the wires and these diaphragm things that, the little speakers. And I'm trying to figure out, how could Mom be talking to Aunt Mary? And, of course, she came up and took the wooden spoon out of the drawer for me tearing the phone apart. But and then in the early 70s, during the Arab oil embargo, I tried to create a new concoction of gasoline to save the nation and nearly burnt down the garage. And I just took everything apart. I took the TV set apart that was this little round tube, in a 4-foot box, the old black and white screens. And I was one mischievous, curious little kid. And and the second big element that is a theme throughout my life is I don't accept when someone says that I can't do it or it's impossible. I just don't. The word impossible doesn't exist in my vocabulary. And so when something happens, I have to prove it, or I have to research it. I have to figure it out. And that's really the story of what happened in breaking my neck and going through the tunnel and everything. I mean, coming back with, I wouldn't have known this until I finished my memoir, but I've had 9 prophetic visions. I've had 14 unbelievable soul experiences of past lives and things, all fact-based in this life and this reality and documented days, months, years before they happened. And so the left brain nuclear engineer curious kid, had to go on a quest to understand, who am I, where did I come from, how could I possibly have visions of events before they happen, how can I have visions of things I create, what is the source of this information? So that was my quest.
What was it like to be in that space? We're going to talk about the pain in the neck that changed your life. But before we do that, what was it like to be in that space where you were having the visions? And did you freely share with others? And some of this would happen while you're in the corporate world. What was that like for you? How did you get through it?
It was terrifying. It scared me to death. I never told this story to anyone, but as you mentioned, I supervised the Valdez oil spill cleanup when I was with Exxon back in 1989, and I never told anyone the story until 11 Days in May came out, that the reason I did that was because several days before I had what I call my first prophetic dream that I remembered. And I can't remember if it was an actual dream or a vision from meditating, because I differentiate the two. But I saw this ship, in the dark, no one in the helm, and the ship crashing and the terrible noise. And I had no idea what it meant. And then several days later, the Valdez crashed on the rocks. And so I felt guilty, and I volunteered to help supervise the cleanup. So... and then there, the worst experiences were seeing terrorist events, bombs or explosions or children dying and things like that. And, it's very upsetting. I considered it a curse. But once we accept our gifts, like Marianne Williamson says, we're afraid of our light. We're afraid of our power. Once you realize that your pain is your purpose, then a curse becomes a blessing, and you use that gift to help others. And so I had to go through that process to realize that there must be something good about this. There must be something I'm supposed to do with this.
Mm-hmm. You talked about feeling guilty. Would you, when you said you felt guilty because you had the vision and what you saw in your, what I sometimes call dream vision, what you saw in the dream vision actually happened and you felt guilty. Why did you feel guilty?
I guess because I didn't do anything about it. You know, I didn't trust it. I didn't believe it. You know, that's not a realistic emotion. I don't even know if you can define emotions with such a word as realistic or whatever. It was what I felt,
right.
You know.
Right.
And guilt is a terrible thing, and we should never feel guilty. That's the way I felt. I guess I felt a combination of maybe being ashamed. I mean, no one knew, you know. I mean, I didn't tell anyone. I'm not even sure I told my wife at the time. What is that, 24 years later, and I can see it like it was moments ago. Every one of these visions or insights, you know, I can, it's funny, you can ask me what movie I went to, you know, 3 days ago or what I had for dinner a couple nights ago, and I can't remember, but I can remember every vision and insight I've ever had like it was moments ago.
I hear you. If you're just joining us, my guest is J.D. Messenger, and yes, that is his real name. He's the author of 11 Days in May, The Conversation That Will Change Your Life. To find out more about him, you can go to his website address. It's jdmessenger.com. It's quite simple. Now, let's talk about 11 Days in May, well, the pain in the neck that changed your life. How did that all come up?
Well, there's two questions there. One was about the neck and then the 11 days. let me say that my wake-up call was when I broke my neck, and we can go through that story in more detail. And basically, I left my body and watched it collapse from a distance, and I went through a tunnel, and we can talk about that. Let me get to the 11 days in May. That was on January 18th of 2000. And so I spent the first year learning how to walk and talk and chew gum again. And then I spent a couple of years sort of waking up, resisting the call, researching who I was, why I wasn't happy, you know, reading Dr. Phil's Self Matters, then going deeper and deeper into, you know, the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita, going to hypnosis and you know, all kinds of healers. Flash forward 10 years to 2012, and I'm trying to write my memoir and tell the series of unbelievable events that happened to me, miraculous healing of my neck, which we can talk about, all these things that didn't fit into a definition of reality as traditionally understood by most Westerners or many people, I suppose. And I'm having a difficult time writing my memoir. I'm getting very frustrated. I wasn't ready to do it, as it turns out. And I go on a spiritual retreat, and I come back from this retreat, and I do a lot of meditating. I do a lot of yoga. And I sit outside my house. I'm in Houston, Texas, and we got a pool in the backyard, and it's kind of surrounded by beautiful tropical kind of plants. And I'm a night person, so I start my writing at 10 o'clock and go till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And I sit outside in the chair, and I basically ask for guidance and ask for help. And I'm... Every time you ask, when you're open to receive, you receive, and when you're really ready, when you're really doing it the right way from your heart, and you're really open to all of the signs and wonders and how the divine communicates, I have found you get an answer instantaneously, all the time, all the time. Mm-hmm. I can tell, there's like five stories in the epilogue of 11 Days in May that talk about that. But so I start to, you know, ask questions and like, you know, who am I or why am I here, and you know, how can I have a vision of something? You know, how did I have four world first innovations to my name, and I don't claim to be the creator, or I don't claim to be the author of this book. I was the scribe. So I start seeing, I call it the wow effect, W-O-W, writing on the wall. And this may sound strange to some people, but this is one of the things that I experienced after coming back from the other side. And, you know, for years it blew me away, but, you know, after 10 years I'm kind of used to it. So I see the writing on the wall. And it literally sometimes is like a white room with someone that's got a black pen and they're just writing in scrolled letters. And it is unbelievable. And so I run into my office, which is right off the pool. I'm looking at the pool now. And I just start typing. And I start listing a question, you know, who makes things? What is a thought? What is death? What is a soul? You know, what is time? You know, why am I here? Why am I suffering? Why am I in pain? And I just start getting answers. And I had no idea that I was writing a book. I had no intention of writing, but I was just journaling to myself, you know? And what I discovered was I let go. I mean, I totally let go of any thought in my mind. I let go of my fingers and hands. I let go of what I thought was going to be written. And I basically became an observer, watching my hands just go. And I had no idea what I was writing. I never knew more than 3, 4, 5 words at a time. And some of the times, some of the things that were being written were blowing me away. Like, I had no idea what this was talking about fear, about death, about angels, about wisdom, about love and war and sex. I mean, I couldn't believe that my hands were typing and writing something about love, war, and sex. And when I would finish a parable, because the book is 36 short parables, I would read some of it sometimes, okay, because I didn't want to interrupt the process. I found if I started thinking, it would stop. And if I, you know, if I opened my, I mean, a lot of it, I even have my eyes closed, you know, typing this. And so when my wife said after 11 days and I step out, you know, I mean, sometimes I was going to bed when they were getting up to go to school. And so, you know, she says after, you know, 11 days, because this happened in the first 11 days in May. That's why the book's called 11 Days in May. She said, "What have you been doing?" I said, "Well, I think I wrote a book." And she said, "What's it about?" And I said, "I have no idea. I haven't read it yet."
I just took notes.
So that's how the book came about.
Now, let's go back. You talked about, you know, leaving your body and the out-of-body experience and going down the tunnel. And actually, before I do that, I want to ask you this because it triggered this question. I hear people saying, you know, I need a reading or because this is going on in my life. I know I'm supposed to ask God, but I ask, I'm not receiving an answer. And you just share with us that when we ask, we get an answer. Is there a right way to ask? Or what do you think is happening from your experience when people say they ask and they haven't received an answer?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest questions I get asked. You know, I've tried all these things. I've read all the books. I'm trying to meditate, and I'm asking, and I'm not receiving. And to me, there is a correct way, and there is it's a little bit of a three-part process: the mind, body, and spirit. First of all, the question, in my opinion, should come from the heart, you know, not the head. And the question shouldn't ask, you know, it shouldn't presume the outcome. You see, most of the time we are getting an answer and we're not getting the answer we wanted, and or we're not paying attention. You know, the signs come from other people who the answer comes through. I mean, I've had dozens of times where, you know, I'm walking by a homeless person on the street and they give me an answer, or my son answers. I'd love to tell a couple of those stories about my son answering a prayer.
Yes, indeed.
Animals, all the time animals, but you have to understand how animals communicate. And, you know, something, a butterfly that flies in your face, or, you know, the second you finish it, you step on a stick, or you walk by a stone. I mean, one time, here's an example of understanding a sign. I was thinking of working with this one particular individual, and I was walking along the beach, and I just said, you know, dear God, I like this particular man, and I really would like a sign as to, you know, how we work together. Not do we work together, should we work together, but, you know, give me some indication of what working with this man together would be like. And my foot hit the ground, and I stopped, and I looked right down where my foot had just stepped, and there was a coconut, and the coconut had washed up on the beach. This was in Southern California, or Florida, and the coconut was covered in moss. Now, So you might say, oh, you're making this up, you're imagining things, but to me, it's quite clear. You see, the coconut is like an egg. Okay, and an egg is a sign. I mean, it's shaped just like an egg to me. And an egg is a sign of birth and creation. And green is the color and the energy from your heart. And so to me, as, you know, sort of an artist, an inventor, and creator, the symbolism to that was very clear, that this man was going to help give birth to creations from your heart. So, I mean, that's, you know, you might say that one's a little bit of a stretch, but it isn't to me, because we all, you see, the signs are unique and particular to us. You know, another time I was walking down the street, I was talking to my sister. She and I feel that we're soul twins, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing sometimes. You know, we are challenging each other, testing each other. And I'm walking down this greenbelt pathway, like through a park, and we're not having an argument, but it's kind of tense. And, you know, hang up. And so I just stop, and I close my eyes, and I say a prayer, dear God, you know, I know my sister is my soul twin, and that she's doing this to help me, and there must be some lesson here for me. And I open my eyes, and right around the corner comes a lady pushing two twins, identical twins, in a stroller, like right into me. And I just cracked up laughing. That, okay, all right, yes, God, she's my soul twin, and she's trying to help me, you know. And, you know, those are small ones, but, you know, the powerful ones are the voice. Voice is very powerful. And visions are very powerful. Now, here's what I was going to say. You've got to be able to receive that and understand the signs. But there's other elements as well, and that is your body. You've got to try to keep your body purified and healthy, because so many people are taking so many medications and they're poisoning their system, and their brains are literally aren't functioning right. And if your brain isn't functioning right, your brain waves aren't working right, you're not aware, you're not receptive. The sensors aren't all working right. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because before you said that, I was thinking about, you know, sometimes when you take some vitamins or smoothie or super green power smoothie, what it does to the body, sometimes it can make you nauseated or can energize you based on the toxins in the body. So we must clean, if you will. We must release the toxins in our body to take the perfect foods. There's something in the story that you gave as an example of getting signs and answers to your questions. I actually like them with the coconut, because it takes it a little bit further out into the realm of really creativity. And what I hear you saying is authentic asking, if you will, the righteous way of asking is to ask and let go of assumptions, assuming that you already know what the answer is. It's asking the question and saying, here I am, show me whatever it is.
I would say, I often say, I allow myself to receive the answer, which is the opposite of resisting. I mean, the biggest, you know, in coaching or counseling or talking to people, which I do a lot of, the people, their mind is filled with assumptions, filled with ideas on what they think they should do, you know, and they're not open to receive. So many, I mean, I'm sure at least several times a day I'm praying or saying to myself, I allow myself or I'm open to receive. That's a huge part, huge part.
Yes, open to receive. And sometimes the sign or the answer could be something like, as you use, a coconut, a woman pushing twins, a phone, a book. But there's something about that being in that space of openness. When we see the symbol, it activates the truth in us to let us know. And it's different for everybody. It's about cultivating that relationship and creating that space of allowing. So then when the answer comes, we recognize it.
Right, and you also, you know, we all receive, we all have spiritual gifts and talents. We all have a spiritual connection, and we all receive in different ways through different people and different events. And, you know, one story, my son and I, you know, have a very strong connection. When I say prayers, he literally answers them through his voice. I mean, one day we were sitting down at breakfast, and I was reading the paper, and I was thinking of making some financial investment, and I just said, God, I said, you know, is now the time for me to do this? And Grant's sitting at the table. He's like 13 years old at the time. He's reading the cereal box, and he goes, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And I turned, and I looked at him. I mean, this wasn't out loud. This was a silent prayer. I say the silent prayer. The second later, he goes, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And I turned and looked at him. My head snaps over. I'm always still amazed when these happen. You know, it just fills you with so much joy and giggleness, you know, bliss. I'm like, what? And I go, what did you say? And he goes, huh? I said, what did you just say? He goes, I didn't say anything. I said, yeah, you did. You said I wouldn't do that if I were you. He goes, Dad, I was reading the cereal box. I didn't say anything. You know, now Taylor, who's now 19, when she was little, she brought me art things. She would doodle. She would write an answer. She drew an answer, and she would always give me answers and messages through pictures and art. You know, this is part of paying attention and be present. You know, start to pay attention. Even animals give you. I mean, there's a great book called Animal Speaks by Ted Andrews, and that gives you all the animal signs. It's wonderful. But,
It is. You know, we're going to take a break in a few minutes, but I want to ask you this question because it just as I listen to your story, and, you know, God really makes sense. The universe makes sense if we look for the signs and symbols and allow it to be revealed to us. Have you ever sat with your last name and wondered how you end up? I mean, we know the logical word of how you end up with your name, but messenger. Because you get messages when you talk about your daughter.
Have I ever, only for 10 years. You want me to answer that now or after the break?
Yes, yeah, no, I want you to answer that now because when we come back, we want to go through the tunnel. But before we,
I mean, when I reflect back on the events and things in my life, there is an unbelievable pattern of people calling me a messenger, messenger events, all kinds of stuff. And here's one of my favorite stories, okay? And these are all honest truth. This is my truth. I'm in this house. I've got the internet working. It's been working for 2 years, no problem. And all of a sudden, one day, the internet just goes off. I check all the wires, I check the power, check the router, everything's fine. I call AT&T, they test it, they say everything's fine. They send a guy to the house. Okay, the guy checks everything and says everything's okay, maybe you've got the wrong password. I said, you know, I've been using the same password for 2 years, I've never changed it. No one else has access to it, okay? And let's just say my password is toy. You know, that's not what it is. But let's just say it was toy. There's nothing. So this guy, he says, let me find out what your password is. And he says, okay, I've got your password. What's your password? I said, well, my password's toy. He said, no, your password's not toy. And I said, well, what is it? And he says, messenger. I said, how's it spelled? He goes, how's it spelled? He goes, M-E-S-S-E-N-G-E-R. Now, that's not my name. My name is Messinger. Mm-hmm. And so I stared and I said, how could someone possibly change my password? And he goes, Mister, it would take an act of God. That's what he said. And I crack up laughing, right?
Wow.
I crack, and so I'm like, okay, thank you. He leaves. I change my password to Messenger and my login, and I start using it. A day later, it stops working again completely. And I just crack up laughing, and I go in and I type password toy, and it's working again. And it's working.
God, I will find any way to reach you and let you know who you are. Wow. I am so enjoying this conversation. And you are truly a mad scientist. That's why you had to see the writing on the wall.
I am a mad scientist. My wife will confirm that for you.
I want to ask you this quick question.
My office looked like that guy in that movie, A Beautiful Mind, with Russell Crowe drawing schematics. I mean, I researched and connected the dots in every ology you can think of to the left brain nuclear engineer math major had to reboot, had to shut down and reboot to a new world because I had an identity crisis. I had an identity crisis that I wasn't a corporate executive. I had an identity crisis that I wasn't a Roman Catholic. I had an identity crisis that I died. I had an identity crisis in science and in religion, and I had to reboot and create a world where not create a world. I had to find the proof, and I call it triangulation. You know, as a submarine officer, we used to get three independent lines of bearing, a triangle, before you know where the target is. And so I had to triangulate and get multiple independent sources of information to convince my scientific mind that what my spiritual mind was experiencing was in fact reality.
We're going to take a break and come back with Celestial Moment and then continue the conversation about out-of-body experience, the tunnel. And I also want to know, how does your wife put up with all this mad scientific well-being? She must be like a grounded woman. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. My guest is J.D. Messenger. And people could look at his life and say, your life is a mess. You know what I say on the radio show. It is. It was. Now he is a messenger of truth. So whatever you're going through, JD told us earlier, your pain is your purpose. What are you going through? What are you growing through that's causing you pain? And you keep saying, why me? Why am I going through this? Your pain is your purpose. You've been asking for it. You've got the answer. 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346 is the number. Press 1 on your keypad if you have any questions or comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears. We're here to support you on your transformation journey. And we also invite you to share your love, your natural energy yield money. You can donate to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show by going to lifeconversationsmedia.com if you feel the show has inspired you, changed your life. It's an invitation. And what else do I need to tell you? That's it. I just need Jack to tell you something that he needs to tell you because he's telling me he wants you to let you know what you're listening to.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com. And I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show.
The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information about sponsoring, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
That's right. And if you need some tools to change your life, pick up 11 Days in May, the conversation that will change your life. You get to hear the voice of the one through J.D. Messenger, who is our guest, as he reminds us of how to listen, sharing his story to inspire yours, and reminding us that all that we need is right here, right within us. It is us. All you get to do is say yes and surrender. We're going to do a celestial moment and then continue the conversation with J.D. Messenger and talk about his out-of-body experience, going through the tunnel, and all that just happened when he had that pain in the neck experience. It's time for celestial moment with Celeste Morgan. It's been a while. We're missing our celestial moment. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
I'm so great. J.D. Messenger, you don't talk about in being intuitive, man. You don't. But you so are. You talk about receiving the messages. And I get that. Okay, I'm with you on that. I'm your twin sister, too. I was so overjoyed. You kept dropping things. I'm like, I can't take this. Oh, my gosh, I need to grab a piece of paper. He doesn't know how much he's saying to me right now. All right, fine. I'm so excited because, you know, I get to have these experiences with Life Coach Today, and we have wonderful guests. But JD Messenger, you are all up and down my celestial moment. It's cracking me up. So I am dedicating it to you. I also want to say a big thank you to the people who support you so that you can show up and do your gift and share your talents. That would be Meryl Moss and Carol Collapse. Thank you so much to those beautiful women for giving us this moment to have with you. Now, the other thing is I have to give you guys some gifts that you've been receiving in the chat room. Because you guys are in an island. I keep envisioning two
brothers.
The phone
sounds kind of funny, Celeste. It's like there are other people talking. Yeah, it's like there are other people talking while you're talking. Tell them to just hold it down for a minute, okay? We understand.
Okay, I know. You can feel the energy. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. I have this vision of two brothers that just found themselves, you know, found each other, and you're chilling, and I feel like we're really eavesdropping on a sacred conversation, and those are the best conversations, the kind that you just feel like, am I really supposed to be hearing this? Ooh, it's juicy. So thank you for that. So here are your gifts. Mother Wit, who's a regular listener of ours, said, JD Messenger is feeding me my breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
People are getting chills in the chat room. And just that, yes, he is dead on right now for me. I had to learn all of that for myself. I allow. So that is how people are responding to the both of you. And I just wanted to make sure you caught that.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you for doing what you do.
All right, yeah, so when I get to the celestial moment, like I said, it is dedicated to JD Messenger because I was going to go with the Empress today, but this man kept talking animals, and the animals finally came through. So here we go. We'll get right to it. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. The energy of the day is 3. And if it happens to be your birthday today, then 3 is your lesson number for the whole year. 3 is the number of creativity, and its ruling planet just happens to be joyful, expansive Jupiter. In the medicine cards, 3 represents the elk. This medicine teaches that pacing yourself will increase your stamina. People with elk medicine may not be the first ones to arrive at a goal, but they always arrive without getting burned out. 3 is also the Empress card in tarot. It is astrologically connected to the planet of love, creativity, fertility, art, harmony, luxury, beauty, and grace. Our beautiful Venus. The 3rd letter of the alphabet is C, and words like caress, charm, and charisma reflect the magical power of 3. Now today we're going to put the spotlight on the porcupine of the medicine cards. Its number is not 3, it's actually 12. But when you add 1 plus 2, you get 3. So here we go. Porcupine, remind me of innocence again. With every man a brother, each woman a friend. When you look at the porcupine, you'll notice its quills. But I assure you, those quills only strike when a porcupine is threatened or fearful. The porcupine is a non-aggressive animal with a power pack of trust in the divine and faith in the plan on its sacred journey. Porcupine reminds us to play and is quick with an invitation to join in the fun. The story goes that a gruff bear was walking through the forest, and when a porcupine looked up from playing with its toy, that would be a log, the porcupine invited the grizzly to its silly game. Bear Gruff, it was too old to play. He's looking for honey. The porcupine responded that maybe if the bear would remember what it's like to be a cub, then it wouldn't be so out of sorts all the time. That takes a lot of gumption to speak the truth to an animal that is way bigger than you. The bear had to respect the display and got busy playing. Finally, bear thanked the porcupine for bringing him back home to himself. I'm sure the bear found some honey right away, too. It's funny how what you're looking for has a way of showing up when you tap into the power of childlike wonder. Yes, the porcupine wants to bring you home too. Reclaim your power by putting the adult to bed and waking up your inner child today. You'll even be inspired to create your own examples of love and action when you allow the light to easily flow through you as you. You just can't help giving that love away. You only get to keep what you give away. All is well. And that's the story of three, told through the porcupine of the medicine cards. I'll see you on Tuesday, around 1, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for sharing that honey-filled truth. Yes, thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm.
That was the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. She'll be back tomorrow around 1. And you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show, and we're continuing the conversation with J.D. Messenger, the author of 11 Days in May, the conversation that will change your life. It changed his, and he is sharing the message. Before the break, I had mentioned we're going to talk about his out-of-body experience, because he had an experience that caused him to be transformed, reset, rebooted. Welcome back, JD.
Hey, it's great to be back. I love the Celestial Moment.
Yes. It was dedicated to you. It was just for you.
Well, it's very significant. So thank you, Celeste, because I got very interested in numerology, trying to find something that showed me answers, and I saw numbers all the time, and I was trying to seek out an explanation for the numbers. So the one major lesson I'm supposed to learn in my life is the number 3, to be more joyful and creative and expressive. And so I think I've been doing that, but it all happened after I broke my neck.
But the funny thing about this, I won't say too much because you're going to tell us about it, the whole thing be more joyful, more playful. Your son was telling you when you were on the bed. So you've been getting the message to be playful a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about this neck experience that caused you to start seeing life from a different perspective when you turned it, and the out-of-body experience. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the short background was that in the Navy in 1985, when I was on a submarine, I got hit in the head by a crane when we were refueling the reactor in Newport News Shipyard. So I was 80 feet up in the air, and the submarine cut to pieces, and a crane load, you know, hit me and snapped my head back. So that was the first time I injured my neck very badly. And, you know, I was in traction and all kinds of things. But, you know, it healed, okay? But unbeknownst to me, from 1985 to 2000, my neck was slowly deteriorating from the injury. So much so that by the middle of the summer of 99, I started to get in a lot of pain. My nerves started to get pinched, and I just ignored it and took Motrin. By the time January 18th of 2000 came around, I was in so much pain that I was popping an entire bottle of Motrin every 3 or 4 days. And I was in total denial, and I was still in tremendous pain. So on that morning, I woke up, and I went to go into the shower. I turned the water on to get the water hot, took off my pajamas, put my arms up in the air to stretch, and, you know, you put your hands together and you lean over to one side. And so I did that little bit of a stretch, and that was the last thing that was holding my neck together popped. So it twisted my spinal column around, crushed all the nerves, and it felt like someone was trying to split me in half with an axe. I mean, the pain was just unbelievably excruciating. And so I staggered screaming out the door, and then the next thing I knew, the essence of me was at a distance of, you know, 5-8 feet away and kind of up, and my body collapsed like somebody unplugging the drop in the strings on a puppet. Okay, you know, my body just collapsed onto the bureau, and then it flopped down onto the floor, and I went through a tunnel, And it was like a kid in a water park, a blue tunnel, and twisting and turning, and it was filled with sparklers, like beautiful lights, and it was very blissful. You know, I have no body. There's mm-hmm. just this, the essence of me, an awareness is the only way I could say it, you know. A good picture is, or visual, is Jodie Foster in the Contact movie. You know, when I saw that, her going through that wormhole or tunnel, that was like the closest thing to what it looked like and felt like. Mm-hmm. And in terms of colors and motion and everything. And I came out and I approached a wormhole. And the wormhole is just like you'd see in a movie, this like black hole. Spinning, they call that the event horizon. You know, when you hit the event horizon, it's too late. You get sucked down into the black hole, like in the Star Trek movie or something. And so I went and I hit that event horizon, and I'm telling you, I can remember it like it was yesterday. You know, all of a sudden, you know, going faster and faster and faster, and then going, whoop, you know, down that hole. Right. Now, as much as people would like to know more, that's really the truth, is that's all that I remembered or saw. But when mm-hmm. I came back, now, of course, my body was rushed to the hospital. They took bone mm-hmm. out of my hip and put my neck together, 3 inches, C5, 6, and 7 were crushed. And they took the bone out of my hip. You know, I was on a morphine drip and had a double surgery and so forth. And so I left the hospital about 3 weeks later. Mm-hmm. And I was in an upstairs hospital, makeshift hospital room at my house. My children are 3, 6, and 9 at the time. Grant is 3, Taylor 6, Madison 9. And we're living in Singapore because I was the CEO of Ernst & Young in Singapore. The doctors said to my wife when they were getting ready to do the surgery, we're not putting anything in his body that wasn't there when he was born. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't use cadaver bone. They wouldn't use screws and plates. They said that's not good for you. So during the recovery, my family would come in and try to tell me about their trips to Australia or the Great Wall and China. And I never went. I was too busy working. And so I was so depressed. I forgot to mention my nerves in my neck are crushed, so I have no feeling in my neck or cheek, which makes shaving tricky. I have no feeling down my arms and part of my legs. My head is locked in a brace and shoulder immobilized, which I had to wear those braces 24/7 for 3 to 4 months. Because there was no screws and plates, and the bone had been taken out of my hip, so I couldn't walk because the pain was excruciating. So that's the scenario. I'm laying there in the bed, staring at the plaster twirls, and they're coming in trying to cheer me up, and it's making me more and more depressed because I realize there's something seriously wrong with me. I've been living to work. And I'm not sure what their favorite colors are, what their favorite ice cream. I don't go on trips. There's something really wrong with me. How did I get this way? How did I get so screwed up? You know, become a working machine, living to retire. And, oh, my God. So I'm in total desperation, totally depressed, and I'm crying. They leave, and I just... Basically, I can't talk real well because my esophagus has been moved out of the way. The doctor said it would wiggle back into position eventually.
Wow.
And so they leave, and I shout, you know, like an angry prayer to God, why did you do this to me? In silence, you know, in my head, mm-hmm. why did you do this to me? And the doors closed. Of course, no one heard it because it was silent. And in less than 3 minutes, the door handle goes jiggle, jiggle, and my 3-year-old son on his toes opens the door, and he comes in, and he says, Daddy, you work too hard. And then he leaves. And he leaves. And yeah. And so then I'm like, huh? What? You know, Greg, you know, get in here, trying to say, you know. And so the next mm-hmm. day, I say I'm frustrated, and I shout again, silent prayer to God, oh, I work too hard. What am I supposed to do? You know, that's my thought. That's my prayer. And in less than 3 minutes, door handle goes jiggle, jiggle, and in comes Grant, and he says, Daddy, you need to play. Oh. Now, most people who are spiritual or very religious or faithful, they would probably say to themselves, oh, God's answering my prayers. But no, not me, not the left-brain nuclear engineer messed up corporate executive. I calculate the probability, okay? I do all the math, and I calculate the numbers in my head, and that was the first time is 1 in 1,000. Doing it twice is 1,000, so that's 1 in 1,000 times 1 in 1,000, which is 1 in 1,000,000. So I'm laying there in bed thinking, holy crap, the chance of Grant answering 2 silent prayers with a reasonable answer, you know, blah, 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 you know, this is me, you know. And you wanted to know what my wife, she's a saint, okay, I don't know how, she says many times, you're the strangest man I've ever met, you know. So when I start calculating the probabilities of things, because there's been quite a few, go on my YouTube channel and hear the 1 in 1,000,000,000 probability of many lives, many masters book landed in my lap. And she just, you know, that's when she said, you're the strangest man I've ever met. So I'm like thinking, this isn't an accident. This couldn't be an accident. I got to try this again. And so the next day I say another prayer, you know, okay, God, all right, I'm working too hard. I need to play. Well, can you give me a straight answer? What does that mean? You know, and jiggle, jiggle, door opens. Grant comes in, he's bouncing around on his toes, he can't say his R's, okay? And so he's bouncing around the room going, we member, okay? Which is remember, remember. And I'm like, Grant, what are you saying? What are you saying? We member, Daddy, we member, we member. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? You know, well, I got to tell you, it took me about 5 years. And 5 years, and all of a sudden, like, the light bulb went off when one day I was present and I'd been thinking about everything I'd done, and all of a sudden I remembered what Grant had said, and I'm like, the breath is gone from me. I'm like, remember. Mm. Oh, my God, how profound. From a 3-year-old, remember who I am. Remember where I came from. Remember what I'm supposed to do and where I'm going and why I'm here. I mean, unbelievable. It just starts to fill you with tears of joy. I got goosebumps. My whole body right now is lit up in goosebumps, which is one of the parables in 11 days. And, of course, a goosebump is a truth bump. And I'm like, oh, my God. So that's the story of, you know, Grant. And I already told you, he did it. If you missed that, go listen to the show again. I told you, when he was 13, he was still talking, answering prayers. Mm. And then he didn't even know he's doing it.
Mm. it's interesting. I mean, there's so many synchronicities, to use that word, with your life. And, of course, I think it's probably more obvious now when you reflect on it. But while it's happening, it's not always so obvious. And in your book, you have one of your favorite quotes. I want to, Albert Einstein's quote. I want to know God's thought. The rest are details. And it just seems to me that you live your life by this quote, that you sincerely want to know God's thought. And it's like, no matter what, and the human experience has brought you to that point where you said, okay, the rest is details, but now I know God's thoughts. And you did in 11 days. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, when these things started to happen, I mean, the obvious answer to all these things. Oh, we got to tell people. Let me say one more thing, and then we'll come back to Einstein. My neck was solid bone fused. And when I go for a checkup 5 years later, now I have been doing acupuncture, Reiki, meditation, yoga, energy healing. I've purified my body. I'm taking Chinese teas and cups. I mean, I'm in Asia. You know, my personal assistant / secretary, her husband was a Chinese medicine doctor, and they don't believe in giving you pills. They will not give you 10 days of antibiotics because you don't need it. They'll tell you do not need more than 3 days of any antibiotics. So they just didn't do that then. Maybe they are now. But so I go in and I get an x-ray 5 years later, and the doctor calls me back and says, we need to do a CT scan. And he does a CT scan. He calls me back, and he says, we want to do an MRI. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, there's something really wrong with my neck. And I go in there, and he puts the picture up, and he says, look, we've been doing this for 80 years. We work for all of the royal family, the prime ministers, and because I was an advisor to the prime minister at the time, and when I got hurt, they got the best doctors to work on me. And so he shows the x-ray of my neck being solid bone, and then he puts up the new MRI, which when I've been traveling around the country, I show everyone these x-rays and MRIs. And he goes, your vertebrae has regenerated. What have you been doing? What have you been doing? We have the power to heal. Matter is not solid. Everything is energy. The perception that is solid is simply energy held together by binding forces. Nothing is hard or solid. That's just energy, like, held together by more energy. If you take an x-ray or a microscope and you go in and look at my fingertip, you go in 100 million times, you see nothing but clouds, clouds of energy. So being this nuclear engineer and having miracles happen to my neck, miracles with people answering prayers, I mean, on just dozens and dozens and dozens, prophetic visions, automatic writing, writing on the wall, I'm like, okay, all right, God. You know, I'm a warrior, okay? I've been a boxer, a fencer, and I'm like, I want answers, God, you know? And I get this poster from Albert Einstein when I see his big face with his curly hair, and it says, I want to know God's thoughts, the rest are details. And that poster is hung on the backside of my door for 13 years, and I just prayed to God every day. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know how this could work. I want to know why there's pain. I want to know why you think there's evil. I want to know why there's suffering. And, of course, all those answers are in 11 days in May.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about one of the questions. I want to understand what is war. And God's response is, war is the outward manifestation of inner turmoil. It is the battle for love. Can you tell us more about that?
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yes.
Poetry?
Yes.
I mean, yes. Profound. That there's, and people struggle with this, but once you get it, you'll have an aha moment. War is, and I got goosebumps all over me. I'm sure listeners out there, you got goosebumps all over you. War, whether it's a war between nations, a war between a man and a woman, war between parents, war is the outer expression of an inner problem.
Mm-hmm.
A guilt, a shame, but the most common problem is that you don't feel loved. You don't feel lovable, and you don't feel loved. And therefore, you feel inadequate, you feel guilty, you feel shame, you don't love yourself, you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe in your gifts. It goes on and on and on. All these other things boil down to that essence of love. And so we project it back out onto everyone, and that is that's war.
It blows my mind. I don't think I've ever heard it. It is the battle for love. It makes sense, but I've just never read it in those words, that war is a battle for love.
The reason it's a battle is because, okay, change and growth requires friction and tension. Let me where your tire on your car meets the road, if your tire is in ice, the tire spins, your car will not move forward. If there was no friction on the bottom of your shoe, you would not walk. Without friction, this is really important, without friction, there's no motion. Without tension, there's no growth. So everything that God in his amazing ways has created is to help us grow and evolve. And so one of the parables says God doesn't have pixie dust. When you pray for courage, be prepared to face your greatest fears. Because God's teaching you. You said, I want to be courageous, God. So, okay, how to become courageous? By facing your fears. That's courage. And so if you want to learn to overcome pain and suffering, you experience it. This is why our pain is our purpose, because it's something that bothers us so much that is like a, you know, gnawing at us inside. We either have to resolve it or give up and quit and, you know, spin down into the abyss. And so that's why it's a battle. You know, everything is, you know, here's the energy side of me. You know, everything is polarity, right?
Yes.
And so
yes.
that's the way the process works.
You talk about friction, and I know a lot of people are going through changes and growth and health challenge and emotional challenge and moving through it. And somehow people are praying for the friction to be removed or to be eased. Just speak more on that, this personal frictions we feel in our lives where we feel like everything we know.
Let me give you a really good example, okay? Mm-hmm. Practical example, me and my darling wife, okay? Marianne, numerologically, is a 3. And I just told you earlier that my big lesson that I was supposed to learn in this life, which I think I'm learning, I still always have to work on it, but that's why it's a pain, right? So I work on it to be happy, playful, and joyful. So before my break in my neck wake-up call, I'm married to this woman. We've been married 31 years now, but I'm married, you know, 20 years. And she is happy-go-lucky and cheerful, and she's driving me nuts. She's driving me nuts. I'm like, wait, you know, I got to work. I got to do analysis. I got to do a report. Will you stop, you know, wanting to play and go on trips and travel and all that stuff? It was friction, right? The problem was in me.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, okay, so I break my neck and I read eventually my numerology and I see that I'm supposed to learn the number 3 stuff. And then I do the numerology on my wife and I see she's a 3 and I'm like, oh my God, you are so devious. I married this woman because I needed that in me.
Yes.
That's part of our agreement. And that's a perfect example of you think the problem is someone else. You think the problem is your job or your child or your spouse. I'm deeply sorry, but go look in the mirror. Every pain, your natural condition is a soul, my dear. Your natural condition is perfect and beautiful and everlasting and eternal and powerful and creative and happy. And so if you're not those things, there's something, there's a faulty program inside you. There's a virus in your cells. It came from your parents, your teacher, your preacher, your history books. There's millions of them out there that society fill us with. I call them flops, faulty, limited, outdated programs. Okay? Here's a flop that I get, a flop that women can't be priests. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I grew up as a Roman Catholic, you know, and I was the priest, so to speak, you know, certified minister on the submarine. I've always been a devout Catholic. And, you know, when I'm waking up, I'm asking all these questions. I ask a priest one day, why can't a woman be a priest? And basically says, well, you know, God talked to Jesus. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, Jesus was a man. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What are you telling me? God doesn't talk to women? Well, I didn't say that. You're saying God, women aren't divine? No, I didn't say that. I said, yes, you did say that. You just said that. You implied that God doesn't talk to women and that women aren't divine. Are you serious? You see, that's a flop. It is
that's
a deeply rooted 2,000-year-old belief that is stored in everyone's cells, and it causes problems. So that's a social flop. Sorry, you got me fired up here, right?
Stay fired up.
So we have personal flops. We have family flops. We have ancestor flops. We have social flops. And all these things are stored in 100 trillion cells. When you are experiencing friction, when you are experiencing pain or suffering, go look in the mirror and congratulate yourself because you just identified something that you can heal. And you have the power to remove it from your cells. Now, that's a whole nother show on how to do that, which I'd love to do, but we can talk about that. It's very profound.
Wow. I'm so enjoying this conversation. And listeners, I know you are listening in the chat room on the phone lines, everybody there just like drinking it in. To find out more about JD, his website address is jdmessenger.com. And before we release this conversation, JD, I just want to hear your thoughts, your wisdom, your insight about this day that we're in, this moment, this change that we are growing through. And it seems like there are the darkest of times, and people are thinking, we don't know how we're going to make it. Money's an issue. You know, there's all this stories, I just call it that, stories that are being put together, written, that some of us are buying into. What would you say that we must do, be, so that we can stay in the center, in our center, so that we can create the story that works for who we are meant to be?
Well, that's a great question. It's very kind and loving and diplomatic the way you put that. We are in a great battle, and this is really what is talked about in the beginning of the epilogue of 11 Days in May, that we are standing on a battlefield, and everyone has to choose between who and what they love more. That's the question. Who and what do you love more? Do you love our country more? Do you love our relationships more? Do you love your family more, your health more, or do you love your toys? Do you love short-term gratification? You know, do you love your attachments? The battle will be over when we wake up and let go of our suffering and our attachments and our desires that are filled by, you know, lust and greed and the Joneses. And we can choose to fight. But when we fight against those things, we are perpetuating the very thing that we do not want to have. You know, that's another illusion. It sounds too esoteric, but the truth is there is no one to fight and nothing to fight with. The battle is all in ourselves. And we can work to heal ourselves individually and then collectively, and in the process of doing that, we'll heal our society. But there's a massive, you know, George Orwell would call it the thought wars going on. People are drinking the gumbo. And so, you know, my advice to people is to stop reading that stuff. Stop listening to that. It gets you all upset. It's they're putting programs in your head. Don't watch those shows. Don't read those papers. Don't read those emails. You're falling into the trap. You know, listen to, you know, Life with Addy and you know, do the things that make you feel good.
And that, what you just said there also makes a difference, but people miss that. When you say don't listen to what they're telling you, it makes you upset. People would say, well, so you mean just ignore, just pretend and put my head in the sand? But it's not about just not listening to it, but there must be an action. We may be part of creating what we want to see.
That's exactly right. Thank you. You create what you want. You don't fight against what you don't want. So if you want, here's a very good example, if you want healthy food, don't fight Big Pharma on non-GMO labels. You're never going to win. What you do is go out and buy a hydroponic or aquaponic garden and grow your own vegetables. Your cost for food and fresh vegetables will go down 80%, and it's totally recycling and regenerative with the air and the water and the pump and the fish, you know?
So true.
So you create your future state.
Yes. Don't judge your
future state.
Mm-hmm.
not judging the your current situation, or not letting your current situation define your future as if you're helpless, but using that to propel you forward. And what you just said about, you know, making a different choice, we see it in grocery stores. I mean, grocery stores now are selling herbs, and they have the organic section. Before, it was kind of like, organic, what do you mean? But now they realize people are turning to that. They have to yield. They got to yield to where the money is. But we're the one doing it. We are the society. We are the ones. Right. And from what you said, what it brings up for me is simply, we have to remember that a consciousness that obtains sustains. So whatever consciousness you use to get something, acquire something, you need that same consciousness to sustain it. And I am so grateful for you, JD, for who you are, for sharing your story, for not being afraid to tell the world. I am a mad scientist. I found a deeper love, and I am so free. Because through your story, other people are finding their own freedom, literally liberated from their own fears. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anything else you want to share with us before you go that I haven't asked you, or event or something that's coming up that you want to share with the listener?
Yeah, I'll say one thing. I guess, first of all, I'll say that thank you. It's been an honor and a privilege. You might have just put the title on my memoir, I'm a Mad Scientist. That might be a good title.
You are.
Or maybe Reboot. I like Reboot. That was pretty good, too. There's a few events I do have coming up. If you're in the Houston, Texas area, Wednesday and Saturday, I've got events sharing my story and the science and the research and discovering your life purpose using numerology workshop. And then I'm also on Long Island November 2nd. And then I'm in Chicago and Missouri and some other places. So you can just go to my event calendar and check that out. The one thing I will say in closing is you can discard everything I said. You cannot believe that it's the truth. You can take it as interesting stories, whatever. The one thing I think that is the undeniable truth is follow your heart. Your heart is, it always knows what's right. It is your rudder. It is your soul. And get your head out of your way and trust your feelings and follow your heart. And, you know, that's what makes dreams come true.
Mm-hmm. Get your head and your butt out of the way.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All of it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you. It was a great honor. Thank you, Celeste, for your wonderful moments.
Yes, yes, yes. The number 3. I love that. I knew this was going to be another intellectual knowing, and it was an inner knowing that this was going to be a great conversation. And there were so many things that were popping up in my head as JD was talking. He talked about number 3, his wife's number adding to 3, his son at the age of 3 was telling me, "Remember, remember, remember." You know, there's so many messages, there's so many signs, and I just pray and hold a vision that you listeners, wherever you are, whatever you're going through and growing through, that you get to tap into that voice. You get to tap into the love that transcends time and space, that you understand who you are, and you find the courage to listen to your heart. It's really, that's what it's about. You can embrace the frictions in your life now and let go of the flops. Let go of the flippity flops. Flops are, here it is, faulty, limited, outdated programs. If you don't let go of your flops, you start flipping all over the place and flipping over there and just all over. Just what's wrong with you? It's time to have a spiritual colonics and just let it go. Challenge your own flops. It's easy to judge the government or the religious institution, what they did. No, but what flop is in you? It's time to let them go, and it's almost time to release the show. I'm so full. I think I'm just going to play something before we go here. But I am full. Make sure you check out JD and the book. Yes, it's written sort of like Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And one of the things I love about the book is the conversation. It's so natural. It's like JD speaking to a friend, a wise friend. And that's how God, Goddess, the divine, that infinite being that is you, speaks to you.
it speaks to you in the way that you will understand, and it will always, always blow your mind. It will blow your fluffs to pieces if you're willing to allow it. You must be willing. So just look around, see what you're moving through, see what's going on in your life, and recognize, as JD said again, I love it, your pain is your purpose. And if you need help, get help. Let go of excuses. Forgive yourself. Move on. Embrace the gift that life has for you. It's time to release the show. There's nothing else that needs to be said. It's all been said. And if you think, no, I got to hear one more thing before I really get it, you're on your own. Because if you haven't gotten anything from this conversation, you're having an out-of-body experience. Just let me know when you come back and I will interview you. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I want to remind you to be love. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself because you deserve it. And allow yourself to be loved. And we're going to release the show with Carlton Pearson. I will be back tomorrow with Sherry Cortland, talking about spiritual toolkits so you can strengthen your spiritual muscles. And if your spiritual muscle is weak, just continue to do your spiritual practice, meditation, reflection, taking time to rest and nourish your body. Life is good. It's getting better. This is Carlton Pearson.
Now is the time.
Carlton Pearson. Oh, wait. Now is the time for me to finish saying what I'm saying. To find out more about Carlton Pearson, is bishoppearson.com. I think that's it. Celeste, you want to say anything? Well, let me just come to you because stuff is going on. Anything you want to add or say before we go?
I'm Celeste. Just so touched. I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good. I'm just so touched by how many ways that JD Messenger confirmed my gift. And taught me through his story how I can trust myself to listen. I'm so grateful that I did a quick shift of the celestial moment because it just was, I'm overwhelmed. He had me crying. I had goosebumps the whole time. And so practical. He also had a special gift for you, too. I mean, you've talked about it on the air, but I will never look at a coconut the same way, will you?
Well, I've always loved my coconut beingness, and my father is loving the fact that I am a coconut now. So, yes, it's always a gift. Yes.
Go back and listen. I'm sure everybody got something, you know, because when you have people who are just at that level, I would be hard-pressed for any of the guests. I'm really curious, you know. Let us know. Did you get any confirmations? Because I was getting hit left and right in a good way.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Celeste. Right. Talk to you later. See you tomorrow.
Sherry's going to bring it tomorrow. You know this is just continuing.
Yes, indeed. We're saying yes to life, saying yes to love, saying yes to ourselves. Thank you, Celeste.
Bye.
The theme is say yes to love. You're saying yes to you when you say yes to love. Have the courage and let it be. Carlton Pearson, it's time to go this time. It's time to go for real. We'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Peace and blessings.
Now is the time. And this is the moment. All else is but a memory of what has been or a speculation of what might come. It's useful to look back and to look forward as well. But always remember, now is where you are, and now is when you can make a difference. Regrets and wishes will not change what has been or what will be. It is by taking action now, when you can, that you fulfill the best of your possibilities. On this day, when the calendar changes, and you're reminded of the passage of time, remember this. Whatever the month, whatever the year, now is the time for you to live. This is the moment for you to act. This is that moment. All that you are right now. All that you can be begins in this moment. Now is a great place to be. For when you live it fully, with love, with gratitude, with purpose, anything is possible. When I find myself in times of trouble, there's a voice that comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, God is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be, let it be, oh, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. When the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be, let it be. Oh, though they be divided, there is still a chance that they will see, yes. And this will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. This will be your answer, let it be, let it be, oh, let it be, let it be, ooh, let it be, this will be your answer. When the night seems cloudy, there's still a light that shines in me. It will shine all through the night time. I'm going to let it be. Yes, I am. And oh, yeah. When I wake up in the morning, hear the call that comes to me. Yes, it does. It whispers. Before it goes, you can make it golden. You can sit there and watch this moment become forever lost, or you can put yourself into this moment and make it yours forever. This is a moment waiting to be lived. Imagine what can happen when you fill it with love, with commitment, when you fill it with courage and focus and effort. It's just a moment. And yet in this moment is truly everything you are and the birth of everything you can become. If you waste this moment, you waste the most precious things you have.
but instead feel this moment and the next with the best you can be. And there is no limit to what you can bring and what it can bring you. This moment is yours to use, but only if you use it now, while it's here. Fill it with value and meaning, and then you send it on its way. And remember, experience is not only what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens to you. Sometimes you just have to let things go. You can't fix everything, don't try. Don't get anxious, don't get filled with anxiety and frustration and despondency. Just release it to God. Do yourself a favor and let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. This will be your answer. Let things go. Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Children, let it go. You need to take these words of wisdom. Just let it go.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.